As you know, and today we're going to look at the first few verses of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, if you've got your Bibles with you, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you are the Father of lights and that you delight in your children. What a thing. What a thing that the King of the universe delights in me, delights in us. What a thing. And Lord, this blessing that's ours, that you delight in us, is something that you want to build into our families. And as we dive into your word now, help us to see these things with fresh eyes and to live them out minute by minute, day by day. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So this morning we're going to do something a little bit different. We want to sort of live out the scriptures more than just teach them and then equip you to live them out there. We want to live them out right here in our gathering. You'll remember that a few weeks ago we looked at the whole issue of the mutual submission that is to take place between husbands and wives. Well, this morning we're going to look at the mutual submission that's to take place between parents and children. And how does that work out in our life? And how do we live that up? But before we dive into that, let me just remind you of two foundational stones that we laid a few weeks ago that governs this whole conversation from the middle of Ephesians chapter 5 through to the end of the chapter. You remember that the key verse, the swing verse, the pivotal verse, the verse to highlight is chapter 5 verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, which leads to bad stuff. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And we talked about how this life in the Spirit is really the Christian life. How our Christian life is life in the Spirit. We can't live out our life for Jesus if we're not full of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about how we need to continually come back to Christ and ask Him to fill us again. The second foundation story we noted was how in these verses, the word in the Lord, or to the Lord, or unto the Lord, again and again and again, this idea of our hearts being drawn back to Jesus Christ and how we live our life to honor Him and give Him glory. And we're going to talk a whole pile about that next Sunday, so we'll just kind of leave that as it is. So remember, life in the Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit who's going to enable us to live out the life we're going to describe. And let's see what God has to say to parents and children. Children. You got to love this. Not children, but parents. Children. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you enjoy a long life on earth. A long life on earth. It starts out really very simple with this command to children to honor their parents. And it starts out, it's sort of broken into two. The first thing it says is, obey your parents. It's really quite simple, guys. What it means is that as long as you live under your mum and dad's roof, as long as, you know, they have, God has given you then responsibility for you, you're supposed to do what your mum and dad ask you to do. Obey your parents. It's a command that comes not from your mom and dad. It's a command that comes from God Himself. And so what God is saying is this, because if you love me, if you want to do what makes my heart sore, says the creator of the universe, then obey your mom and dad. Now, the next part's not so easy because it says this word, honor your parents. Who knows? Who can tell me what the word honor means? Do you know what it means? And you guys in the front, do you know what? Sierra, do you know what it means? What does it mean? What does it mean to honor? Honor. What does that word mean? Can you say it? Does that embarrass you? It means to do what they say, but it means to do what they say in a good attitude, right? To honor them is to hold them with respect, to have a good attitude when we're listening to them and obeying them. Let me talk to the teenagers for a minute. You know, guys, I know it's hard sometimes. Because in the olden days, before there were cars, I was a teenager. And I remember that sometimes it's hard to do that. It's hard to obey your mum and dad. I mean, that's hard enough. Oh, okay. It's really hard to obey them with a sense of honor, with a sense of esteem, with a sense of respect. And I know one of the biggest difficulties is because sometimes we have a hard time as parents understanding how old you are and how mature you are and what you can do. And sometimes as teens, you have a hard time understanding that you're maybe not as far along as you might think. And so what happens is we get into these little conflicts. But I want you to know this. You can, honoring your parents doesn't just mean here that you never get to say your side of the story. That's not what God's saying. He's not saying you can never say to your mum and dad, you know, that's hard for me for this. You know, I remember when Andrew was, he's in his middle teens, I don't know, 14, 15, something like that. And I would get really, really mad at lots of stupid stuff. But one of the, and some things I shouldn't have got mad at. But one of the things that used to make me really mad is when he'd use a tone of voice to me that wasn't respectful. Like, I'd be like... And I can remember one time we were having an argument about something, and I said, and Andrew spoke to me with this tone of voice, you know, with like a bit of an attitude or whatever. And I said to him, don't speak to me in that tone of voice. And Andrew said to me, why not, Dad? You speak to me in that tone of voice. And you know, guys, that... It stopped me in my tracks because I realized I am. So how come, you know, why am I not respecting Andrew as a young man, as my son? Why would I speak to him with a tone of voice that I wouldn't speak to somebody in a restaurant like that way or from my friends that way? And so I said, okay, Andrew, you're right. So from now on, if I speak to you in a tone of voice that's disrespectful, you can say to me, Dad, that tone of voice hurts me. That tone of voice is respectful. Which Andrew said, oh, yeah, right. But I said, no, because he knew. I said, no, son, seriously. If I'm speaking to you in a way that is disrespectful, that does not honor you, then you have my permission to say to me, Dad, you know, that hurts me, or that's not respecting me, or whatever. Now, probably in the middle of a fight, it's probably not the best time to bring this up to your mum and dad. But, you know, this afternoon, say something nice to them, and then say, about this respect. You can talk to your parents. So obeying and honoring doesn't mean that you never get to say your piece, or you never get to say, Dad, you know, I'm older than that. I can do this, or whatever. But it does mean that you show them respect, that you show them care. Well, why should you do that? Well, God tells us why we should do it. He gives us four reasons why kids should obey and honor their parents. He says the first reason is it's right. And what he means is that God has set the world up so that there's order, so that there's not chaos, so that people can be safe, and so that people can grow up, and so that the world can function. And so in this order, God is at the very top, and he puts down his teachings, his commands, and then there's authorities over adults, you know, like governments and laws and so on. And then he puts parents in charge of households so that kids can grow up and be nurtured in a safe place. And so God says, obey them because it's the right thing to do, because it fits how I've set the world up. And he says the second reason you need to give them honor is because they're in the Lord. If you're a Christian kid, your mom and your dad are your Christian brother and your Christian sister. As a matter of fact, that bond of them as a Christian mother and Christian brother and sister is even stronger than mom and dad, because it's the blood of Jesus that binds them together. And so God's saying, you don't treat people who are your brother and sister in Christ with disrespect. You don't talk after them. You don't attack them. You don't do all that stuff we tend to do because they're your brother in Christ. He said, the third reason is, I'm giving you this command. I'm God and I'm telling you, obey them, honor them. It's my command to you. And if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And the fourth thing he says is, I'm going to give you a promise. If you learn to obey your parents and honor them, you'll have a long and good life in this land. Well, the reason he said that is because in those days, if you didn't honor your parents, they'd stone you to death, and so you didn't get to live very long. But there's something even deeper in there. What he's saying is that your folks have lived some life, and that they can teach you some things which will make your life easier, which will give you the directions that you don't have to live through some of the junk that they lived through, or that they've heard about. Because you'd be amazed at what your parents did when they were your age. They won't tell you it, but and the amazed. Here's what we want to do to kind of put this on skin. What we want to do is we want to pray for parents today. And so if you're a kid here today, I want you to be close to your mum and dad, okay? Because you're going to bless your mum and dad, and later on they're going to bless you. And what we're going to do is I'm going to ask in just a minute that anybody who still has children in their home, I mean, I know, you know, it's kind of, a, you know, some of us got kids that are gone, and some of us have kids that are adults and all that sort of stuff, and some of us don't have children and all that sort of thing. So, but we're going to ask that if you're a parent with a child, that you would stand up. And what's going to happen is we're going to ask you kids to pray for your mum and dad and to show them honor, to honor parents in this way. And then the rest of us who don't have kids in the home, you might have kids elsewhere or whatever, like me, too bad for us. We're not going to get prayed for. We're going to pray for these ones who are still in the battlefield. All right? So if you have children in the home, I'd invite you to stand at this time. And if you've got your kids around your kids, I want you to hold your mom and dad's hand, or you can do it if you're, you know, an adult kind of thing. You can put your hand on their shoulders, and I'm going to give you a minute. I want you to out loud pray for your mom and dad, okay? And then after a minute, I'm going to pray. And the rest of us, I want us to extend our hands to these parents, because some of us have been there, and we know the joys, and we know the dangers. So let us pray for these parents. I'll give you a couple of minutes for the kids to pray. Don't be shy. Pray for your mom and dad, and then I'm going to pray. Go ahead, start. And now, Lord, we join these prayers of these children for their parents. Almighty God, we thank you for these ones that stand before you. We thank you for their hearts, which carries the joys and the concerns and the worries and sometimes the heartaches of parents. We pray, Lord, that you'd give them wisdom. We pray that you'd give them gentleness of heart and gentleness of speech. We pray that you give them the security to stand firm for that which is right, to give guidance to their kids. We pray, Father, that you would strengthen them and that you would encourage them. We pray that they would live lives which cause their children to look up to them and see in their faces and see in their lives God Himself, so that when they say the word Father and Mother and they hear that applied to you, Lord, it's a good thing. So, Father, we as children, bless our parents. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you're welcome to have a seat. Now, if you look in your bulletins, you'll see a piece of paper that looks like this. It's like dark on one side and white on the other. What I want you to do is we want to give you a minute now to just grab a pen out of the black books or something, and you can write in there that some way that this week you plan to bless your parents. Maybe your parents are, you know, far away and you're going to give them a phone call, or I don't know what it is, but some way that you're going to bless your parents. Or if you don't have your parents still with us, maybe there's some parents that you want to bless. And so just give you just 30 seconds to write that down, and you're going to take that with you, and then we're going to get on with the rest of the passage. We're not going to take too long because the kids are still here, and we're going to do something else with the kids in just a second. Okay, if you haven't thought of anything, just take the paper with you and you'll think about it a little bit later. Now let's get back into the Bible. Here's the thing. In the day in which Paul lived, it would be a very, very common thing for children to be instructed to obey their parents. I mean, Roman society was built upon that. We talked about the paterfamilias there a few weeks ago. And very, very common that kids would be instructed to obey their parents, to honor their parents. All the time common. But what Paul does next is a little bit radical. Because what he does is he addresses parents. In the text, he addresses fathers because of that whole culture where in that day, fathers had all the say and over life and death, even over their family. But of course, in our society, mothers have an equal responsibility and equal privilege and so on. And so what we're going to see is what God says to guys like me who've been blessed with having children. Listen to what God says. It's the other half. And it's radical for Paul today. He says, fathers, and we would read fathers and mothers because our society is different. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and in the instruction of the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. What it's saying is, don't run your kids over with power. God has given you authority. God has given you power. God has given you size. He's given you all kinds of things. And he's saying, you parents, don't crush your kids with power. Don't crush them. Don't raise up an angry generation, is really what's behind that passage of scripture. Don't exasperate your children. Obviously, we've got a role to play. We've got authority that God has given us so that we can have our kids obey us, right? So that means that we have authority, we have a job, we have a responsibility to teach our children, to guide them, but we're not to do it with power. We're not to override them. We're not to make them feel less than. What instead we're supposed to do? He said instead, train them and instruct them in the Lord. This word for training means coaching. That's really what it means. It means just like you see the coaches, you know, where the player plays and the coach will give them the odd tip to make them better and encourage them along and build the team. This is what it means by training, is to coach the children. Coach them. Be alongside them. Walk beside them. Live with them. Be involved in their life. Coach them along in their friendships and in their relationships and in their training to get along in school and all those things. Well, how do we do it? Well, I mean, there's 1,000 ways to do it, but let me just talk about 2 things. Just surface things, but for me, they were helpful. I want you to think about the book of Proverbs and understand the book of Proverbs. You see, Proverbs, the whole intent of where the book of Proverbs was originally written was that the kings and queens and the rulers of Israel were given this manual instruction, and they would use the book of Proverbs to train their kids to grow up to also be rulers of the land. And then after a certain amount of time, a few decades, the Proverbs got popularized. And pretty soon the common people would use Proverbs as a training manual for kids. And it's amazing when you get in there how much training you can actually do. Because Proverbs talks about everything from handling finances to dealing with sexuality to how to choose and treat a wife. It's all in there. And of course, you've got to translate it a bit according to the kid's age, but it's amazing the life teaching and coaching that you can find in the book of Proverbs. Let me say a second thing. When I first became a Christian, Bill Barmer said to me, "Oh, Alan, read a proverb a day," like a chapter of Proverbs a day, because there's 31 of them. "Read a proverb a day to get along with man and a psalm a day to get along with God." And the Psalms, we can use those to coach our kids, to train our kids in what it means to love God. It's all there in the Psalms, to love God in the good times and to love God in the tough times, to cry out to God with thanksgiving and to cry out to God with sorrow and even anger. How is it that we process our hearts and our emotions before the Lord? The Psalms can help us as parents train our kids in dealing with all that stuff that's going on inside their hearts, just like it's going on inside our hearts. One last thing. Mavis wants me to bring this up because we oftentimes don't explain it good enough. You know, when your kids get, they're down there in a little while in children's church and they're going to get trained on stuff. And so there's take-home worksheets that these kids have. And the whole idea is that's us as a church trying to help you to build on what they learn during the Sunday, right? I mean, the Sunday they get the brief outline, but then it's for us as parents to take those worksheets and to rework it with the kids so that it gets deeper into their hearts. And that's what those worksheets are all about. It's just one of the ways that we're trying to help parents train their kids. And so we train them by coaching them with proverbs and psalms and materials that we have. But let me tell you, in my opinion, now we're into the realm of opinion, so you can ignore it, but you'd be a fool to do so. I think one of the most important things we need to do as parents is bless our kids. Let me tell you another story from Israel. It kind of goes against my British nature to talk about, because, you know, things that other people have an opportunity to do. We don't do that in England. We don't talk about things we've done or things we have or whatever that other people don't have, because that's pride and you should just be quiet, you know. But let me just do it, because half the reason I went is so I could share these things. We're sitting there in the hotel, supper time, and eating away. Great food they have there. And pretty soon, in walked these three Jewish guys, which was a bit of a surprise because we were in Israel. So in walked these three Jewish guys, and got the yarmulke on and stuff like this, and one had a white one, the others had dark on, and they come in, and they're packing these plates of food, and they sit them down there, and then pretty soon these three guys are kind of standing up there, and they're doing one of these here things, and they're kind of mumbling, chanting, very quiet, very hard to see exactly. Kind of drew my attention, so they're right in front of me. And then they sit down, and then they dive into this plate of stuff, food, like of some sort. And then pretty soon, the old boy, he grabs this hunk of bread, and one of the younger guys gets the salt shaker, and he puts this salt on the table, and the old guy, he rips off a piece of this bread, and he dips it in the salt, and he kind of tosses it to this young guy. And he grabs another piece, he rips off, and he dips that in the salt, and he tosses it to the other guy, and then he takes some bread himself, and he dips it in the salt, and then they down this salty bread. And then he takes this glass of wine, and he, you know, prays, and then he takes a suck on this wine, and then he passes the glass to the other guy, and that guy takes a sip, and passes it to the third guy, and he takes a sip, and then they put it on the table, and then they cover it up, and then they went and got some different kind of food. Then they're sitting down. Next thing, here come some kids. And these kids come to the old guy. And the old guy says something to them, and then the kids sit down, and then they dive into the food there, and then pretty soon some women came, the mums came, and they talked to the old guy, and they sat down, and then they have this meal. So I asked Yehuda, because I didn't have the jam to ask the crew there, describe this to him, what in the world is going on? He said, they're welcoming the Sabbath. Just like we saw at the beginning of the service. And I said, well, what was going on there? And he explained, the salt, because where the salt, Israel is the salt of the earth and all these different things. And I said, well, what about when the kids came? He said, when the kids came, they went to the father, the grandfather, says, and he was blessing them. He was speaking words of blessing over them. Because to speak the words of blessing, to sing the words of blessing from the parents to the children, is part of this welcoming of the Sabbath. It's a powerful thing, and it's a critical thing to bless your children. And so what we want to do is take a few minutes to give you an opportunity to bless your children. And so if you've got your kids, we're going to have them come and stand in front of you, and I want to invite you to put your hands on their heads and bless them. Now, if you don't have any kids, you know, maybe there's a niece or a nephew you like, or if you don't like them, maybe there's some kids somewhere that you like. And you can sort of conjure them up in your mind. Now, if you don't have the words that you want to pray this blessing upon your kids, if you don't have the words, then what we've got is Aaron's blessing. It's on the dark side of this paper. And it's just some words for you that if you can't put it into words, and I know what that's like. Sometimes you can't get it out because of what's going on in your heart or whatever. You can't get words out. So then you can just pray this blessing over your kids. So gather your kids around. And if they're not present with you, gather them in your mind. Put your hands upon them. And I'm going to give you a few minutes to pray a blessing on these children. And they'll close. If they're not here, put them in your mind. Let's pray together. Go ahead. Bless your children. Bless them. Almighty God, we bless our children. We carry them in our hearts. They are such sources of joy and such sources of worry, sometimes frustration and hurt. They are so precious to us. They are life to us. And we desire to bless them. And so as we think about them, as we lay our hands upon them, we pray that you would keep these children, that you would keep them close to you, that if they should wander, that you would continue to call their names, that they can never escape your voice. We pray that your face will shine upon them, that you will be personal to them, that you would not be some God that's far away, that's irrelevant to life, and yeah, maybe when I die it'll count, but instead that your face would always be for them, that they would see your eyes of compassion and love and of truth. We pray that they would know your grace, that they would know that you lavish your good favor upon them. We pray, Almighty God, that you give them peace, that you give them shalom, that you give them wholeness of life, health in life, favor in life. We pray for these, our children, and we thank you for them. We pray through Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. I encourage you to take this with you if you don't have the words. And I just encourage you to speak words of blessing for your children. For every word of instruction, for every word of correction, speak out loud real concrete words of blessing and favor upon your children. I don't know everything that it does, and half the time they blow it off or whatever, but I think that things happen in the heavenlies. I remember for a couple of years, though, when Andrew was in grade school, when I'd put him to bed at night, which wasn't very often because Sheena did 98% of the work with raising children and every other kind of work, come to think of it. But on those times I would, you know, I remember I'd put my hands on his head and I'd pray a blessing upon him. I actually prayed a different prayer, but anyway. And I can remember one of the first times I would do that, he kind of looks up at me and says, "Dad, what are you doing? And what does that even mean?" Because I was praying that the blessing of Ephraim and Manasseh would be upon him, and you had to know the Old Testament stories to get it. And I got to explain to him, "Oh, son, this is because God loves you. This is because God desires to bless you. And I love you. And I am so proud of you. And I pray that all your life you'll know God and have his grace flow through you." And I got to explain these things to him. I just ask you, I implore you in the name of Jesus, no matter how old your kids are, speak words of blessing to your children. Because God says, don't cause exasperation in your kids, frustration like they feel like they never measure up. Raise them up in the instruction and training of the Lord. And God's instruction to us is blessing, love. Father of lights, you delight in your children. And our kids need to know that we delight in them. Let's praise, and then I think we're going to have it. Almighty God, you are so wise. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd come upon us and that you would fill us up, so that we can be a blessing to each other, so that we can honor and bless our parents, no matter how old we are, or how old they are, or how young they are, or whatever, that we'd be a blessing to them. And we pray for us as parents, those of us who have this privilege of being parents or aunts or uncles or some significant adult in some kid's life, some way, coaches, whatever. Holy Spirit, we want to take our responsibility to lay down the tracks, to give guidance very seriously. But help us, Holy Spirit, to do that in the ethos, in the cosmos, in the environment of words of blessing. For this is your desire. And that's how you parent us. You teach us, you train us, you correct us, you discipline us. But you do it in this marvelous environment of gracious blessing. Cause us to model this. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to have a baptism, and then once the baptism's done, then we're going to dismiss the kids. So we just want the kids to be a part of this too.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Am I there, John? I am? Okay. All right. We have Joanne. I want to invite Joanne Hockey to come up with us today. And she wants to be baptized. And why don't you just come on in here, Joanne. Have a step. Good. You can have a seat. I think it's very fitting as we talk about family living. Today in our passage, we're talking with Ephesians and how we love one another as family. And Joanna said, I want to be part of this family. And baptism is one of the expressions of going beneath the waters and dying to ourselves and rising with Christ, symbolizing our belonging to Him, the covenantal God. And so, come to know you for just a little bit now. And Joanne has a passion for children. Don't tell Mavis. I'm just kidding. She has a passion for children and youth. And just talking to Joanne and seeing her understanding of community and her desire to plug into this particular congregation and make her life count here. And as Christ comes and dwells in her. So I just want to ask you these three questions we talked about. Okay, Joanne?
Yeah.
All right. So, do you believe that Jesus is a Son of the living God?
Yes.
And do you believe that He died for your sins, was buried, raised to life, and now is living?
Yes.
Okay. Do you now take Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior and Lord of all of your life, Joanne, as we talked about?
Yes.
Then it's my pleasure and privilege as your brother in Christ to baptize you in the likeness of Christ's death. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, go ahead and pinch your nose. To bury you in the likeness of His death. And to raise you to a new life in Him. Amen. Good rise. We'll stand as a time. So let's just let's pray for Joanne, and then for our children, I guess, as we dismiss them. Is that fine? Okay. All right, let's pray for Joanne. Lord, we thank You for this wonderful privilege of being in Your family, young and old. And thank You, as Joanne is one of our young adults, we just thank You for this new life that she has in You. And as she desires to follow You with all of her life, Lord, we pray, Lord, that she put on Your armor, and that we as a community would gather around her to support her, to walk with her, not to exasperate her, but to lift her up and encourage and bless her. So we thank You for this this great testimony of what You are doing, God, and thank You for her life in You. And we also pray for the children now as they go, Lord, to their places, and we pray that God, we as teachers would bless the children and instruct them in Your ways, Lord. So thank You for this privilege. We get to live together as a community in You. In Your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, children. You can go to your classes. Well, that was great. So now I'm going to invite you to stand and sing with us. We're going to do some more worship time now.
To You. Oh.
We'll do it again.
Water, you turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine.
You did great. Thank you. Hey, you know, ever since I was in Israel, the songs are taking on a different meaning for me. And when we were getting ready to this, for this next song, I saw a beautiful gate in my imagination swinging wide open. And maybe you can see it up there. It's a gate that's been cemented shut because this is the Golden Gate, the gate that was called beautiful in Jesus' day. Not very beautiful now, but it will be beautiful again. Legend has it that Jesus will return to Jerusalem through this gate. So that's what I was picturing. I had this picture and I wanted Chelsea to put it up, and thank you, Chelsea. So let's sing this song. It makes a difference when we think of Jerusalem opening wide its gates to welcome its returning King.
Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ the risen one? Did you feel the people? to wash away our brokenness. And here we see that God, you're moving. A time of jubilee is coming. When young and old we turn to Jesus.
Children need to honor their parents. We need to honor God, our Father. And as we come to the communion table this morning, participating in the Lord's Supper is one way that we can honor God. As I was thinking about what that might look like, or if God actually talks to us about honor in the communion table, I started with the chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, which gives us a long list of, or a long commentary on what not to do. So I'm going to read that to you. It contains the most well-known verses about the Lord's Supper, and those familiar communion words that I'm going to read for you are nestled in a family letter from Paul to the Christians in Corinth. The believers in the city of Corinth were not honoring God the Father in their relationships with each other or in their practice of the Lord's Supper. Listen as the Apostle Paul corrects the children of God and lets them know what honor should look like. And I'm going to read this from the Message, starting at verse 17.